gospel lesson is found on page 889 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and as a widow till she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together in your presence this morning to worship you. We do come for that purpose, to bring you praise and glory and honor. Father, as we come, we also seek to hear your voice speaking to us through your word. We ask that you would do that now in such a way that we would be encouraged and equipped to serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Finally! After all the waiting, after all the anticipation, after all the preparation and expectation and prognostication, it is finally here. Super Bowl Sunday. Was that too much? It's true that the Super Bowl is a big event each year, even though this year it seems like nobody is rooting for either team. There still is a lot of fuss being made, all the interviews being done ahead of time, and the talk about the special commercials and the halftime show hype. All of that has been going on. Makes you think something big is going to happen. Whether or not it has registered on your personal radar screen, there is another event which has today set apart from all the other days of the year. It may not be as familiar as the Super Bowl, but it has been around a whole lot longer. I'm talking about the Feast of the Presentation. And everyone said, huh? If you're not familiar with it, the presentation is what we hear described in today's gospel lesson. When Jesus was presented in the temple by his parents, it was in keeping with what God had instructed way back in the Old Testament books of Exodus and Leviticus. God had spoken through Moses to provide this and many other instructions for the people of Israel to live as the people of God. In particular, for male children, 8 days after birth, the child would be circumcised. For the firstborn male child, about 33 days later, the child would be presented to God in the temple with an offering being made as an expression of both commitment and gratitude. Well, the Feast of the Presentation on February 2nd each year celebrates the occasion when Jesus was presented in the temple by Joseph and Mary in keeping with all of those instructions. Jesus was less than 7 weeks old, so this was not his doing. It's not like he woke up and said, "Hey, Mom, Dad, take me to the temple today, will you?" This was an expression of faith and devotion on the part of Joseph and Mary. Part of what fascinates me about this is that all the way back in the time of Moses, God knew this day would come. Through the ages, anticipation had grown. Many different preparations had been made, and expectations had longed to be fulfilled regarding the coming of God's Messiah, the Lord's Christ, the one who would be the Savior. Our lesson from Malachi points to this as a future event which has now arrived. Joseph and Mary were brand new parents, with all the normal excitement that comes with having a baby. But with all they had seen and heard from the angels and the shepherds and the magi and their relatives, Elizabeth and Zacharias, I mean, they had to be brimming with anticipation at every turn. Two other people who were in the temple complex that day are also classic examples of that longing. I'm speaking of Simeon and Anna, one man and one woman, neither of which is mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. The events of this day leading to the song of Simeon and the adoration of Anna in response to what they were seeing. Two more witnesses recognizing and acknowledging Jesus as the Lord's Christ. We don't know much about Simeon other than what is written here, verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I mean, it doesn't tell us his address or his cell phone number or anything like that. We're kind of wondering, where's this guy coming from? All we have is what's given. And yet, if you had been a regular at temple worship in Jerusalem, you would have recognized Simeon and known his deep-seated faith in God. If you knew Simeon personally, you may have heard him tell how God had given him a special gift. It's described in verse 26. And it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You see, Simeon knew the promise God had made to send the Messiah to be the Savior of the world, but he also knew the personal promise God had given him to see the day when the promised Messiah would be a present reality. On this day, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple where he would meet the parents and the child face to face. Taking Jesus in his arms, Simeon knew both promises of God had been fulfilled. The Lord's Christ had come, and Simeon had lived to see him in person. It's a wonderful picture. I mean, holding babies is always fun. Well, most of the time. Let me explain why I qualify. My oldest brother still laughs about the first time I held his son, Jim, who's my nephew. Just so you understand, Jim is 40 years old now. But at the time, he was only 4 months old. And as babies sometimes do, he took the opportunity of me holding him to well, fill his diaper, which was not fitting very snugly. Hence, well, you get the picture. Both of us had to be changed. Apart from that, usually holding babies makes us smile. When Simeon held baby Jesus, it is a very unique experience. Rather than going coochie coochie coo at the cute baby, Simeon burst into grateful praise. "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Simeon affirmed the truth that God had kept his promise to Simeon personally and to the world as a whole. This Jesus Simeon held in his arms came to reveal the light of God's truth to all people everywhere, Jew and Gentile. That is what God had prepared and was now unfolding in the person of Jesus. So what that means for us to know Jesus, to see him for who he is as the Lord's Christ, carries all of that significance. The promises of God to you and me and to the whole world are fulfilled in Jesus. In him we see God's salvation because he is the Savior. As Simeon explained to Mary, that would come at a great price. Great cost to Jesus who would die on the cross, and great heartache to Mary, his mother, who would watch it happen. But what he would accomplish there is the salvation of the world, the redemption of all who would trust in him. We just sang it together, didn't we? "My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine." He is the one who redeems us for God. That is the truth about Jesus, and so that is the truth which brings us life. Well, back in the temple, we're actually given more background about Anna than we are Simeon. Verse 36, "There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years." Even back then, they wouldn't say the age of women, they knew better. I'm sorry. "She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers." What do we learn? Here is a woman devoted to serving God as a prophetess. Anna had been at it for a long time, doing it 24/7 as the description we're given. A woman exhibiting commitment, holiness, prayerfulness, self-denial over the long haul. Well, upon seeing Jesus, she also knew him to be the one who came to provide redemption. And she kept telling everyone who would listen, all those looking for redemption. We hear all this, recognition and affirmation of Jesus as the Lord's Christ. And as we hear it, we are each presented with the question of how we choose to respond to him. How does this reveal the thoughts of our hearts? If we reject who Jesus is and what he has done for us, we continue to be in the dark. Apart from Jesus, we remain estranged from God. On the other hand, when we hold fast to Jesus as the Lord's Christ, who is our Savior, we come to benefit from all he provides. We are assured of God's forgiveness because Jesus has taken our guilt upon himself. That crushing weight is removed from us. We are assured of God's redemption because Jesus paid the price for our sin. No longer do we flounder in our own fallenness. We are assured of being reconciled with God because Jesus is our mediator and advocate. We stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Christ who stands with us. We are assured of new life in Jesus because he has raised us up from death to life, empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit to live that new life. And we are assured that we have an eternal home in the kingdom of God because Jesus has that place prepared for us. Our sure and certain hope is that he will one day bring us to that eternal home. With the Super Bowl hype and everything else that has been in the news, it may not have caught your attention. Last Monday, January 27th, marked the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the infamous Nazi death camp known as Auschwitz. With that connection, January 27th has become known as International Holocaust Remembrance Day, recalling the killing of 6 million Jews. Something we would rather not have to remember, but which we know we must never forget. As many others have pointed out, we have the tendency to label that as a horrendous anomaly in the course of human history. That it all happened in a different world, that those who perpetuated such evil or those who scandalously remained silent and complicit were somehow different kinds of people than we are. In distancing ourselves from such evil, we can mistakenly think we are distancing ourselves from all evil. We can buy into the erroneous notion that we are different and so we have no sin requiring redemption or forgiveness. Chuck Colson once described the scene taking place at the 1961 trial of Adolf Eichmann, one of the key organizers of the Holocaust. One Holocaust survivor named Yehiel Diner was called to bring testimony at the trial. Diner entered the courtroom and stared at the man who had presided over the slaughter of millions. The court was hushed as a victim confronted a butcher. Then suddenly, Diner began to sob and collapsed to the floor, not out of anger or bitterness. As he explained later in an interview, what struck him at that instant was a terrifying realization. "I was afraid about myself," Diner said. "I saw that I am capable to do this exactly like he." On this Feast of the Presentation, we're reminded that Jesus came among us as the Lord's Christ to deal with the evil of the world and the evil in every human heart. He came into the world to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that we may be transformed. It is in every respect a transformation from death to life as we are brought back into relationship with God through faith in Christ. And so to know him is to have eternal life, which leads us to join with Simeon and Anna, offering to God our voices in grateful praise and our lives in faithful service. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are counted among the human race, those needing your forgiveness and redemption. We are counted among those for whom your Son Jesus came into this world to save us. We thank you for the reminder today that from before he was even born, you were preparing the way for that to happen. as he was born. You surrounded him with witnesses, identifying him as the one who had accomplished that work that only he could do. And so today, Father, we give you thanks and praise for your Son, Jesus Christ. And we put our trust in him as our Savior, knowing that in him we have life with you. And Father, we ask that you would so work in us through your indwelling Spirit that we would live our lives in faithfulness and gratitude for all he has done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.